It's good to see everyone out in the house of the Lord tonight. Thankful for another opportunity the Lord has afforded to us. And I believe there's some people that want to be here tonight. I know I do. Glad to be here. Glad to feel the presence of the Lord. And we just want to worship Him in spirit and in truth tonight. That's, the Bible teaches us that's the only real way we can worship Him is in spirit and in truth. And so I want to encourage you to just keep following the Lord. If God is dealing with you, if you're lost, if you know you're lost, and God isn't dealing with you, and you know you're lost, and you need to come and pray so He will deal with you, then you just seek out after the Lord tonight while you got time and opportunity. Wonder if there's anything else on your heart before we try to go into the message tonight. Anything at all on your heart? Pray for me tonight. I need the Lord's help. I love trying to preach. That's all I can do is try. But I need your prayers. So you pray for me tonight. We're going to take our text from Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, beginning in the 31st verse. Mark chapter 8, beginning in the 31st verse. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That was reading Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 38, with the mistakes we may have made. Again, I would ask for you to pray for us tonight, and that the word would be sharper than a two-edged sword and pierce into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart of these people that are here tonight, including me. Amen. That God's word would prick us in our heart tonight. Mark, here in this 8th chapter, he gives an account of Jesus letting his disciples know about the gospel. He let them know, I'm going to die, but I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to be risen on the third day, and I'll be alive again. Peter didn't like what he heard, and he tried to rebuke the Lord Jesus, and Jesus told him, Get thee behind me, Satan, because you don't savor the things that are of God. Then Jesus went on to some very important instructions. And he lets us know that whoever is willing to come after him, come after Jesus, must deny himself, must completely turn everything over to the Lord and take up his cross and follow Jesus tonight. He said, if you're willing to lose your life for him, I'm telling you, lose it for him. I'm not saying go out here and jump in front of a car. I'm not saying go out and take your life. What he's saying is, if you're willing to give him your life, if you're willing to surrender it into his hands, he will give you eternal life, is what he'll give you. But he says this, He said, what would it profit a man? How would it make him better if he were to gain all that the world had? Everything that the world had to offer, all the riches, all the fame, all the glory, what would it gain? What would it gain a person if he were to have the whole world and lose his own soul? Wouldn't be worth anything, would it? You might become the richest person in the world today, but if you die in your sins, none of those riches will matter in eternity. This life is just for a little while. And what you need to focus on is after this life, where your soul is going to spend eternity, and where is it headed after this life? So we ask a question. In the 37th verse, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The word exchange here, it means to give one thing or commodity for another, to barter, to swap. When I'm growing up, it was called to trade. Basically, Jesus is saying, what would you trade for your soul? What is more valuable to you than your soul? I'm afraid there's a lot of people tonight that are trading other things for their soul. Trading, bartering, trying to hold on to those things instead of desiring that your soul would be right with God. And you have that prerogative. You have a free moral agency about you. God did not make us robots. He didn't ever force Himself and will never force Himself upon you. He gives you an opportunity to choose whether or not you want to be saved and to seek Him to the salvation of your soul, or reject the only begotten Son of God. He gives you an opportunity. He didn't make you to have to do that. So tonight I want to ask you, what are you trading for your soul? What are you trading for your soul? I want to give you a few examples tonight with the help of the Lord. You pray for me. Please pray for me. I believe it's so important. I believe God is ready to save someone here tonight. And it's not going to be me. It'll be the Lord that'll do it. But I believe with all my heart that He is ready to save you tonight. If you're willing to quit trading whatever it is that you're holding on to for your soul, if you'll turn it all over to the Lord, I believe with all my heart you'll leave tonight a changed individual. Mark in the 10th chapter, in the 17th verse, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. That just levels everybody's playing field here tonight. We're all sinners in the eyes of God. Romans tells us in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone here tonight is a sinner. Thanks be unto God, there's some that have just been saved by God's marvelous grace. But we're all sinners. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. I could probably say most of you all have kept most of these commandments. May not have kept them all, but Jesus didn't mention all of them, did he? And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth up. I don't know why I've missed this, but it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Do you know Jesus, he looked right at this man, I believe. He looked directly into his eyes. He looked at him and he loved him. He had compassion upon him. I'm so glad that we serve a compassionate, loving Savior that is still looking to lost sinners' souls, and He's looking right into the depths of their heart, and He's looking at you tonight. I don't know your heart, but I'm glad He's still looking down from that throne, and He loves you so much tonight. I wish you could just see the depths of His love, and you won't until you experience it inside your soul. But He loves you so much tonight. He loved him. And said unto him, one thing that thou lackest, Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. I believe if a person gets honest with God, if they are sincere with God with all their heart, I believe, because I've experienced it myself, that if you get sincere with God, He'll let you know what you're holding on to. He did this man. He did me. I believe anybody that's ever been saved, God let them know what they had to relinquish. He let them know. Now that act of relinquishing it does not immediately save you, but what you are doing is you're saying, I want you more, God. I want you more than what I've been holding on to. I need you more than what I've been holding on to. Whatever it is not worth me dying and going to hell over. You see, Jesus told him exactly what his problem was. You want to know what the problem is? Don't ask me. Don't ask your mama or your daddy. Ask Jesus. You'll get honest with Him. He'll get real honest with you. You may not like the answer. This man didn't like the answer. Because you see, God knows your heart. He knows what you're holding on to. And the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Bible says, who can know it is what it tells us in Jeremiah, but I'm glad that God can know our heart if we'll surrender to Him. And when he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It just cannot happen. A physical camel cannot go through the eye of a little needle. It's just not possible for that to happen. And it's not possible for you to be saved without God. Not possible. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Thank you, Lord. You say, well, I'm not holding on to riches. I know I'm not, because I'm not rich. And maybe you don't think you are tonight, but I want you to know something. You are rich tonight, whether you like to believe it or not. And you're rich because you're in a sound, good old-fashioned gospel church that is telling you the truth of Jesus Christ. And you have so many riches tonight. If you have a mama or a daddy or a grandparent or a sister or brother or somebody that loved you enough to make sure you're in church tonight, you're rich. More than you know, you're rich. Oh, I may not have the best worldly possessions, but I'm a rich man tonight. I've been saved. I've got a good family, got a roof over my head and food to eat. I am blessed beyond measure. God has been good to me, and you are too. Listen what Jesus said in Luke. It tells us in the 14th chapter and the 25th verse, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate, I'm just reading what the Bible says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? But you know what? If we look at the original translation, what that word means to hate, it's the Greek is hamiseo, and it means to love less. What is he saying tonight? He's saying, if anybody comes to the Lord Jesus, and I hope everybody does tonight that's lost and separated from God or confused or whatever you are tonight, if you come to the Lord Jesus and you love your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband, if you love anybody more than him, you're not worthy of him. You're not worthy of him. He's saying anybody that loves people here more than him is not worthy of him. Now, that don't sit well sometimes, does it? That I may have to love Jesus more than my family? If you want to be saved, you do. You've got to want him more than life itself. Oh, I remember the desire that God put in my heart. The longing to be saved. There was an earnestness there. There was a desire. I appreciate the testimonies last night of those that were diligent in seeking the Lord, because that's what God put on my heart. When I realized I was lost, I knew that there had to be a determination, and I knew that I wanted and needed to be saved more than life itself. And I wanted it, and I desired it. And I loved the Lord. Through his grace, he helped me. He gave me the faith. You don't have it within yourself, but God will grant you the ability to believe if you'll trust in the Lord. And he'll help you to repent too. You're a sinner. There's not a person, that rich young ruler, that man that came to Jesus thinking he could be saved because he'd committed, done good things and kept most of the commandments. Though most of the people in the church house tonight are probably pretty good people. But I want you to know something tonight. Pretty good people that don't believe in the Lord Jesus with all their heart end up in hell if they don't surrender completely. Hard to say, but that's the truth. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending, I want you to count the cost tonight. I hope you will. I hope God, you will get honest with God. Ask him what you're holding on to. And when he shows you, I hope you count the cost tonight. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth you willing to give that up in order to be saved? I want you to count the cost tonight. That's what Jesus says. If you want to hold on to what you're holding on to, you can do that. That's what he told that man that went away sorrowful. He let him go away. He didn't make him get saved. He allowed him to turn that direction. And you know what? Tonight, God will allow you to choose your faith in hell if you want to. He'll allow it. He made a way so you didn't have to go there. And if you reject his only son, it's just proper. It's just what justice has to happen. Justice has to be served. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able by 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other yet is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all. That's a big word there. Three little word, all that he hath. He cannot be my disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple of the Lord? First, in order to be a disciple of the Lord, if you're going to be able to teach the teachings of God, you've got to know God in the free pardon of sin. You've got to be able to know him. And how do you know him? You know him down in the depths of your soul. You need to know him here. I believe everybody here tonight, even to these little babes, know who God is. They have been taught about him, even as a child. We're taught about children. And you can ask these children, at even maybe 2, 3, 4 years old, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God? And of course they do. They've been taught those things. But it's totally different than believing. believing in Him, and hearing in your mind than it is in knowing Him down in your heart. I know God. I have experienced God. I have felt His presence upon my life. I have not heard Him through an audible voice, but I have felt Him speak to me inside of my soul. And He has guided my life. I know Him. I know Him better than I know any of you, including my wife. I know Him better. He's my best friend. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And all He's asking you tonight is count the cost. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? For whatever you're holding on to. Jesus told them, He said, you've got to be willing to forsake your family if that's what it takes. That's not as big of a deal to us here because most of our family loves the Lord. But He was talking about to some Jewish people and to some people that if they followed Jesus, they literally had to let go of their family. They had to forsake everything. And there's people in this day and age that they, when they follow the Lord, you all sang, the children did, a song, and it blessed my soul, and it was about emptying me. I can tell you there's a good brother named Brother Junior Moore, and he told him his calling to preach, and as far as I understand, his wife left him because he was preaching the gospel. I tell you, sometimes you got to forsake all. But oh, I bet he's enjoying the pleasures of heaven now. Oh, I believe he's got a lot of stars in that crown to lay before the Lord. I know he does. Love that man. Are you willing, if it comes down to it, to forsake even your family? I'm glad that there were some people that were. So you and I could have the gospel, left everything they knew, traveled to this country to leave their family behind to bring us the gospel. Those old preachers come from over in the Virginias. Brother Lewis Craig, I believe it was, said, I've got a burden to go to Kentucky to preach the gospel. And he said, I've got to go. Left everything he knew, tried to leave those behind. They said, no, we're coming with you. And they followed after. I'm telling you, folks, even God's people, we need to be willing to be disciples of the Lord. Whatever God has us do, there's nothing better than serving God. Eternal riches, riches that are in heaven. Those will outlast ones here every day. They'll outlast. Listen. You need to count the cost and see what you're trading your soul for. Are you trading it for family? Are you trading it for riches? Say, no, I'm not trading it for those things. What are you trading it for? In Acts, the 24th chapter, there was a man by the name of Felix. Paul shared the gospel with him. He was a governor. He had the ability to free Paul. In the 24th verse, it says, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, that's important, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, that's what we've been trying to do all weekend, just reason with you about God's righteousness, your unrighteousness, about the judgment that's coming upon you. It says, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. I believe Felix kept hearing about those things, but I don't know if he ever got saved. Matter of fact, by his actions, it kind of seems like he probably didn't get saved. Because listen to this. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. What was Felix selling out for? What was he trading for? I have my opinion, according to what the scripture says. His wife was a Jew.
I think he was too afraid of hurting somebody else's feelings or going against the grain of everybody else, including his wife. I believe that he could have very well got saved, but he was trying to please the people. Trying to please the people. You say, I'm not trying to please the people. Well, if you are too proud to come and seek the Lord and to cry and to pour out your heart to the Lord, you're trying to please yourself, and you think you're trying to please the people around you. They might be offended. There might be something that it might bother somebody. It may do this or do that. I'm telling you, Felix, if he ever got saved, he had to be willing to lay everything down. And you will too. You're going to have to be willing to lay everything down. But he kept Paul in prison, says, because he wanted to show the Jews a pleasure. Wanted to please the people. He traded that. I don't know if he ever got saved or not by his actions. It surely really don't seem like he did. What are you trading for? King Agrippa, in the 26th chapter of Acts, Paul was still being bound. He was able to talk to Felix, able to talk to Festus. He had to appeal to Caesar so that the Jews didn't take him to Jerusalem and kill him. He was trying to just keep going as long as he could to serve the Lord. I'm glad he did. Having therefore obtained help of God, this is the 22nd verse, 26th chapter of Acts. I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show the light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, and much learning doth make thee mad. Not mad as in angry, but mad as in crazy is what he's saying. He said, I am not mad or crazy, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, and I believe with all my heart tonight that you know these things. You know that Jesus of Nazareth was born as a virgin birth. He was brought into this world, never committed sin. He went and died on the cross of Calvary for your and my sins, and he was rose that third and glorious day. You know these things because they haven't been hid from you. They've been declared openly unto you. He says, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus has been dead, buried, and resurrected over 2,000 years, and he's still the center attraction of this world. I'm telling you, it hasn't been hid from the eyes of man. It's still being declared to those who listen. And King Agrippa heard it. Says in King Agrippa, this is Paul speaking, believest thou the prophets? They didn't have the New Testament at this time. They had the Old Testament scriptures. He said, believe the prophets. I know that thou believest. This would be my heart's desire for you tonight, that may be lost, you may be confused, I don't know where you are, but I know that you can believe tonight. I know you can. With all your heart, I believe it in my soul. He said, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We were playing volleyball the other day, and we had a lot of almost, didn't we? A lot of almost right there on the line. Christy said that's only in horseshoes and hand grenades. Almost. I think there's a whole lot of people there. Hope asked last night, we got in the car, they fell asleep probably 9 o'clock. Did anybody almost get saved? I said, honey, you don't almost get saved. It's either all the way or nothing. Almost. King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. You know, Judas, he almost made it to heaven. He kissed the door of heaven. Kissed Jesus right there on his cheek. Was right there with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are almost, but if you're almost saved, you're lost and headed for hell. King Agrippa, he said, almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What was King Agrippa holding on to? I don't know. I don't know if it was his pride, his pomp, his kingship here on the earth. Oh, what King Agrippa didn't know. If he'd have turned to the Lord, he'd have been part of a whole lot bigger kingdom, a better kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. I'm glad. I'm not just anybody. I want you to know I'm royalty tonight. I'm an heir to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Like Grandma used to see, a royal descendant of the child of the King. Tonight, I want you to quit trading whatever you're holding on to for your soul. Jesus, he traded something too. I appreciate what Brother Jeff preached on last night. I appreciate him preaching in the shower, there in the bathroom when he did a while back, and what he told us about that. You see, Jesus traded, didn't he? He traded his cup for ours. We heard that last night. He traded his cup for ours. You see, Jesus did not deserve to die, but he did. He did come and die. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The penalty for your sin is death. Not just physical death, eternal death. You deserve to die because of your sins. In that you've sinned against God and you were born into sin. You're a sinner. You came forth speaking lies from your mother's womb. That's scriptural. We come forth that way as sinners because of our original father Adam that passed those sins down to you and I that are here today. But Jesus, he came to make a way. He came to make a way. I believe according to the scripture, it's in the second chapter of Acts, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. I believe that determinate counsel was a meeting of God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. God met before time was, and he had made up in his mind that he would make man in his own image and in his likeness. He said he would create man, and he knew that man, because of his foreknowledge, would sin. He knew that Adam would transgress the law that was given to him, and because of that sin, all of his children, including you and I, would be sinners, and there would be no way back to God. Oh, there was no way. So the Word, God's only Son, the Word said, Father, I'll go. I'll go and I'll pay the price that they all deserve to pay, and we'll just let them go free if they will surrender to me. If they'll surrender to me, they'll surrender their life. If they'll believe in me with all their heart. Oh, we heard it preached last night. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll believe in him with all your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth is confession made unto salvation. And the heart first and then confess, as we heard preached last night. God wants to save your soul because he made a way. I believe this was set up before the foundation of this world. Jesus, he traded places with us. He came and took our place. 1 Peter, 1 chapter, 18th verse. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, you were not ransomed, you were not purchased back with corruptible things as silver and gold or money from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Jesus traded heaven, traded the splendors of heaven to come and live a natural, lowly, humble life down here in this sin-cursed world. He traded everything that he had there, the glory which he had before his Father. He traded all that to come and live in this world, to take upon your and my sin, to nail him to the cross, to lay him in the grave. He went through all of the pain and agony and suffering and traded the prettiest place that there ever was and ever will be to come and live here so that you can be saved, and all he asks you to do is quit trading out something else for your soul. Quit trading what you're holding on to for your soul. Is it money? Maybe is, maybe not, I don't know. Is it riches? Is it your family? Is it your pride? Is it your pride you're holding on to? That very well could have been King Agrippa's problem. Is it peer pressure of what you're afraid of, what people might think of you? Do you think, I can't have fun anymore after I've been saved? You'll have a better time after you're saved. I promise you will. Because you'll have enjoyment. You won't just have fun. You will enjoy life. And you will have a more abundant life, is what Jesus said. I still like to cut up and have a good time. God has blessed my life. I enjoy life. I enjoy it a whole lot more since I'm saved. Because I don't have to worry about what happens tomorrow. Quit selling out your soul for something less than Jesus. Jesus paid it all for you. Don't take anything less than him. You're selling out for something that ain't worth anything. Whatever it is that you're holding on to this side of eternity, it's temporal. It's the things you can see. Those are temporary, and they're all going to be gone one of these days. The only thing you can take with you from this side of eternity to the next is your soul. And is it going to go to heaven or hell? God bless you. Let's have a song. Please stop selling short of Jesus. Take him and nothing less. Seek him with all your heart. Go ahead, Brother Larry.